number one.
From the number one college town in the Big 12. Big 12. We're back with the Purple Project Podcast with Eddie Greer.
The Purple Project Podcast is on. Going behind the scenes of Kansas State athletics, from the action on the gridiron to the octagon of doom, and much more. Plus, making rounds about the happenings in the community. Triple P is loud and proud and ready to take charge in the Big 12 Conference. Podcasting to the Little Apple, Kansas City, and the world. It's the Purple Project Podcast. And now, here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
What's up, Wildcat Nation? This is the Purple Project Podcast. Once again, back on the airwaves, Eddie Greer III, your host of the K-State Athletic Podcast. We talk football, basketball, baseball. We haven't talked about much about volleyball yet, even though we've had almost a sentence about them. We try to spread it out a little bit, but right now the focus is on football, of course, here in the Little Apple in Manhattan, Kansas. Before I bring on Alex on, my co-host, you can find the Purple Project Podcast wherever you get your podcast. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audioboom, Radio.com, iHeartRadio, and SoundCloud on my page, Edward 3G. Alright, folks, let's go ahead and bring on my man, Alex from San Diego. What is happening, Alex?
You know what, Eddie? It is hot. It is a hot weekend and hot upcoming week in San Diego. We are having on San Diego-like weather, Eddie. It's in the 90s in San Diego. Something's wrong. Like, I don't know, it's broken. All 2020's broken, Eddie. Why is it 90 degrees in San Diego? I left Kansas to leave the 90-degree weather. But no, have to have my hot week. But no, everything, in reality, everything is good here. Happy, healthy, can't complain. Gonna have K-State football for now, it sounds like. So can't complain about that either. And we'll get to that in a minute. The only downer is it's Sunday night, Eddie, so I've got a whole week coming up, beginning tomorrow. But you know what? I'm doing good, and I'm ready to roll.
Yes, that is right. And football is ready to roll here in Manhattan, Kansas, here in another couple of weeks here, against Arkansas State. We'll talk about that here as we get this thing rolling. Of course, this is episode 15, actually. I just checked this a moment ago. Okay, yeah, there we go. I taped episode 15 on Friday, so if you have not checked that out, go do that, as it was posted last night. Did a solo episode on the K-State schedule, which we will break it down even further here. So this is episode 16 of the Purple Project Podcast. So this thing is going, football is going, and yeah. And kind of not to spoil what I said on last episode, a solo episode, that I definitely thought, you know, the Big 12 was going to fall right in the hands of what the Big 10 and Pac-12 did, which we said was going to happen on the previous edition of the Purple Project Podcast. Big 10, Pac-12 decides to close up shop for all fall sports, which leads to a petition from none other than Heisman Trophy, well, now supposedly Heisman Trophy candidate, Justin Fields. I just found this out this afternoon after I got home from church, so I didn't even know about it until then. So a lot of parents are upset that their kids aren't playing sports, which my almost six-month-old now, I can almost kind of sympathize for those parents. I would be pissed too if my kid was on scholarship, was not able to play volleyball, softball, basketball, whatever it is that Emma's going to play in the future. But yeah, so a lot of frustrated people here in Gene Taylor, Alex, K-State, Bob Boesley finally made the decision last week. They're sticking to the plan. I really thought they were going to follow Big Ten and Pac-12. I'll be honest with you, but thankfully, at least for right now, we gotta get to September 12th. That's the big thing right now with what's been going on. Y'all know by now, not only here on this podcast, but all over the nation about the this pandemic. So, September 12th, with the revised schedule, and we'll also break down a little bit more about the revised, new look, Big 12 schedule. So, yeah, Alex, I don't know what your thoughts on what I just said there, but yeah. Arkansas State was not on the list. Obviously, we thought Buffalo or North Dakota. I thought it was going to be Buffalo because originally it had the K-State website had Buffalo on there instead of North Dakota. No Buffalo or North Dakota. We got to play Arkansas State here. And from a podcast, K-State, another K-State podcast I listened to earlier this morning, I mean, Gene Taylor confirmed it a couple of times already, but there is going to be limited capacity. We do not know what that is still yet with a few weeks left before Arkansas State, if we can get to September 12th.
Yeah, there's obviously a, excuse me, there's a lot to break down. Once again, like last week we talked about, man, there's so much to break down with this. And the same thing here, first off, just to kind of backtrack to last week and kind of what happened. When you and I last talked on the show, and I know that you did have that bonus episode on Friday, post the news, but prior to, you know, when we talked on Monday night, we didn't, we knew that most likely the Pac-12 and the Big Ten would postpone their seasons and try to play a spring season. We knew that that decision would most likely be made by them on Tuesday. And then the real question was going to be, what would the Big 12 do? And we were right. The Big 12 did postpone their seasons, as I expected, on Tuesday. And I find it funny that they say postpone and they talk about playing football in the spring, because, Eddie, there is no way I can figure out how you can play football in the spring. So I don't know how you do that. But anyway, they say that's what they're going to try to do. And I'm with you. I fully expected, as I told you on Monday night, I fully expected the Big 12 to say, you know what, that's what they're doing, and we're just going to follow suit. But surprisingly, pleasant surprise to me, Eddie, they came out and they said, we are going to move forward with the intent on playing our season in the fall. So they're clearly leaving the wiggle room that, hey, our intent is to do this. If something derails it, we will change our course of action. But for now, we will continue to move forward with it. And then once the Big 12 made that decision, Eddie, the ACC and the SEC came out and they said, you know, we're going to move forward with the intent of playing football in the fall as well. And the College Football Playoff came out and said that they expect that there will be a college football playoff if there is only three of the five Power Five conferences playing, which also brings up, what's the point of playing football in the spring for the Big Ten and the Pac-12 if there's not a college football playoff? But once again, I don't even think they'll even play football in the spring, so moot point, most likely. But this kind of gets back to what I was talking to you about, Eddie, with the non-conference schedule. It kind of felt like the Big 12 wanted to play their games, and the SEC kind of wanted to play those games too, and the ACC was kind of on the fence, but everybody was waiting for everybody to make a decision. And so once the ACC made the decision to do away with them, the SEC and the Big 12 were kind of just like, did it almost because it felt like they had to do it. But in this scenario, I think you saw what you would have seen with the non-conference schedule. The Big 12 actually stepped up and said, no, we're going to intend on playing. And then the ACC and the SEC said, you know what, we're going to do the same. I think that's what would have happened with the non-conference schedule. The Big 12 would have done the same thing with that. But either way, getting back to this, I was happy with the Big 12 that they actually made a decision on their own, because I, quite frankly, didn't think the Big 12 would do that. I didn't think that they were willing to make a decision. I thought that they were just going to kind of follow suit with what others were doing, which is part of my frustration in the first place. So kudos to Bob Bowlesby. Kudos to the presidents, the athletic directors, the medical experts, everybody who was involved in making that decision. The Big 12 really came out and said that they felt like that was the safest avenue for their players, was actually to be with the teams and move forward within it, but thought it was a safer environment than an environment that they would be like being otherwise. Kind of like Coach Saban said of Alabama, this virus doesn't just live in football, on the football field. It doesn't just live inside the football quarters. You know, it's everywhere. So So that, which is a good point. So, you know, you move forward, and I think that the real hurdle, Eddie, is going to be when school starts, and what type of impact is that going to have on the players and the positive tests. And correct me if I'm wrong, Eddie, but I believe that school is scheduled to begin tomorrow.
It's tomorrow. Yep, the students are back in town, baby. Students are back in town, ready to go.
Yep. So it's good. So here we go. People are going to be listening to this on Tuesday, so it'll be the second day of school. So this, in my opinion, Eddie, this is really the make or break of whether we will start the season on September 12th, when it is currently slated. And we'll have to see. I saw some tweets over this weekend, Eddie, of some people that were saying Aggieville was packed and there were no masks. And I can tell you right now that is a great way to cancel a college football season, unfortunately. So hopefully students use... you know, use some common sense around campus in Manhattan and don't jeopardize the student athletes who might have to be around them. But, you know, that's going to be the ultimate test. You know, school starts, what's going to happen? What type of ramifications is that going to have on the players once they're in the classroom with multiple students? They're not just kind of in their football, not bubble, but, you know, kind of limited to just their teammates and their coaches and the facilities and those types of things. You know, you're adding that extra layer that we've talked about. And it's going to be interesting to see what that does. Oklahoma, I think they had like 9 positive cases of the coronavirus or something like that. Lincoln Riley said when his team reconvened and that one of their running backs opted out due to that particular reason. So, you know, it's just kind of a fluid situation, and I'm still kind of in a wait-and-see mode, Eddie. You know, let's wait and see if they'll be able to begin this thing on September 12th, because there's just so much in the air, and school hasn't technically started yet.
As we record, this podcast has not started yet.
Yes, as of this podcast has not started, when people listen, it will be the second day of it of school on campus, but we'll see. Like I said, we'll see what happens. And then when it comes to the schedule, you know, I'm with you. You know, Eddie, we knew that North Dakota and Buffalo, they both had interest in playing K-State if they continued on with their fall season. So I was with you. I figured that K-State would work some sort of deal out with one of them to play them. So I was a little surprised when they pivoted and went the avenue of Arkansas State. But I did see... Gene Taylor say that they were interested in getting games against North Dakota, games against Buffalo played in future seasons to make up for this season and what happened there. And he actually said there have not been any conversations yet with Vanderbilt on what they will do about possibly playing a game in Manhattan in the future. Eddie, hopefully they can get that game played because I, you know, we talked about on the podcast, you know, Vanderbilt may not be an SEC juggernaut, but they are an SEC team.
Yes. Yep.
You want to find a way to do that if you can. So I'm assuming Gene will reach out to them and try to schedule that in the future season as well. But look, you know, we're scheduled for the 10 game season. And as a K-State fan, I think that's all you can ask for. And you know, kudos to the coaches, kudos to the athletic directors, kudos to the presidents, and to Paul Bowlesby, who I haven't been terribly impressed with, honestly, throughout a lot of this process. But I was impressed with the way that they moved forward with that. And I was also impressed with K-State coming out saying that they would help pay for Arkansas State to get the amount of testing that the Big 12 is requiring K-State to do so they can actually meet the Big 12 standards and come play K-State in Manhattan. So kudos to K-State for paying for them to get the proper testing and all those things. So they can play that game. But we'll see. We'll just kind of see what happens as this thing keeps moving along and keep an eye on it, keep an eye on those tests and what happens. But Chris Kleiman spoke on, I think it was early last week, and he spoke about wanting to play, and it sounded like nearly all the K-State players wanted to play. I haven't heard of any K-State players that have opted out, so that's a good thing. You mentioned Justin Fields. He's obviously come out and been very vocal about the fact that that he believes that there should be a big Ten season, and as you mentioned, he's trying to start a petition to reinstate the fall season. So He's the loudest voice in the Big Ten. So if anybody could do that in the Big Ten, it would be him. But it's going to be interesting because I think that there could be some transfers from this, Eddie. I really still think there could be some transfers, even if that doesn't mean that they'll be able to play this year. I think that there's going to be some players that are going to be pretty ticked about what happened, and it may lead to a transfer. And so we'll have to keep an eye out on that and see the ramifications of that. But as for now, you know, we'll see as things continue to move forward.
Yeah, I want to go back to the whole mass thing at Aggieville. I said a few times in the last episode of Purple Project, wear your damn mask. Just be, you put it in a good way, in a little bit nicer way. And then these students out here, yeah, they think they're invincible, these 18 to 22-year-olds or whatever, and even older. So, yeah, that's going to, and you brought up a good point there, that this is going to be the ultimate test. This is opening week of classes, students walking around here in Manhattan, Kansas, either with mask or no mask. So this is going to be the ultimate test for the first couple weeks here to see if we're going to even play in the actual season. So that's going to make for huge consequences if we can't get started on September 12th. And you also, it was a nice transition that you brought OU into the conversation. So Oklahoma, originally on the original schedule, it was going to be West Virginia, first opener. Now, with everything shaked around, and this is going to be, we got an off week, Alex, between Arkansas State and going to Norman for the anticipated showdown at Norman, where, of course, we know last year we beat them down here in Manhattan, Kansas, here at home. After
it will be on their mind, Eddie.
Yeah, they will be, but with a new quarterback, which we will talk about here in a little bit. But yeah, so Oklahoma 9. It was pretty much like K-State, to be totally honest. There, 9 Oklahoma players got tested positive, and then another one to put the cherry on top. Their leading running back, Kennedy Brooks, or something like that. Kennedy, or something like that, just opted out. Decided to opt out. So that's interesting, even though the Big 12 wants to play a season and has their schedule already set there. So I'm going to have to go back and look the actual name, because I just read that too before hopping on to record this podcast. So my bad. But anyways, their leading running back decides to opt out. Not going to play season, so that's a huge loss on the offensive side of the front for Oklahoma. Maybe a good advantage for K-State, who knows? But so yeah, huge showdown.
Go ahead.
Okay, so in a huge showdown down in Norman for that ball game, and then just to kind of go a little bit of a schedule here. Off week between Arkansas State, Oklahoma in Norman on September 26th. Then the first weekend of October, you're at home against Texas Tech. So there's that. And let's keep in mind, we don't know the capacity yet. And we've talked about that numerous times here on the Pro Project. Then you got to go to TCU the following week. And then after the bye, you got Kansas at home, Old Lane, Kansas at home on the 24th of October. So just to put our focus on that here, folks. So you have a potential here of, and by the way, we'll talk quarterbacks here toward the end of this podcast. But, of course, Alan Bowman for Tech, if he can stay healthy. TCU has Max Duggan back. For TCU and for Kansas, I read the quarterback situation earlier, and I'll touch on that here once we get to it. Kansas obviously had an improved offense last year. They really struggled down the stretch there. In the old hype, Les Miles, and who is K-State, whatever, we put a butt kicking on Kansas and Lawrence there last year. So they got to come two Manhattan under different circumstances with most likely no sellout stadium. So that's the bummer part of that. So that's just a bit over one-third of the schedule right there, Alex. So on the road, TCU be a tough game. OU will be a tough game. You said revenge on their minds. That's going to be a tough game themselves. And we beat Tech last year down in Lubbock last year. And Kansas, that's two winnable games right there. Arkansas State right there. If we show up. Now, if we all show up to play, that should be win. That should be no problems about that. But so it comes down to OU on the road and TCU. Now, theoretically, TCU given. Now, I mentioned this on the podcast a while back. TCU losing a few players, and they've trended on a downward spiral. Downward spiral is not the right word. They've trended down over the last couple years under Gary Patterson. I've said that too on the Purple Project. The other Purple team, TCU Horned Frogs, and when we knocked off OU last year, they're going to have a different quarterback, and they just lost a key component on their offense, along with Jalen Hurts, CeeDee Lamb going to the NFL. And I have not looked at the full rosters yet. I'll be looking at those once we get closer to actually playing. But just going off of memory, so you're looking at, Alex, possibly, if we have our heads on right and execute, you're looking at least, well, and counting Arkansas, and not really, actually, I'm gonna not count Arkansas State. You're looking at least 3-1. 3-1 at the best here. Unless they can go down and somehow do what they did last year, which is gonna be a total different environment down there. But yeah, so sets up, you know, tough game on the road. You come back home with a winnable point, and you know the old saying that you have to take care of business with the winnable games. We did not do that last year, especially with West Virginia. Lame West Virginia coming here and winning. And then there's also a missed opportunity there somewhere in there. But anyways, yeah, Alex, so what do you think about the first four games on the conference schedule there? Obviously, the anticipated showdown, which, by the way, I bet you, if I was a betting man, I bet you, given our upset win last year here at home, here in Manhattan, Kansas, Gus Johnson and Joe Klatt will call that ball game.
That would be the hope, Eddie. I hope to hear them, because I always enjoy a good Gus Johnson call.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Makes for good TV. As you mentioned, and first off, I'll say that, you know, with the home and road games, I know that there are some schools, including K-State, that are planning to try to find a way to get limited crowds. You know, personally, Eddie, I'm not sure if that will be able to be pulled off or not. Even if it is, I don't think that many people will be able to be at games. So I'm not looking at the schedule the way I typically would, because typically I, you know, put a lot of weight into a, you know, a road and home game in a college environment. You know, that's a big deal. That's a big thing. But I think for the most part, it's really not going to matter. Even if there are some fans at a few games, I don't think it's really going to matter much one way or the other. It's kind of just going to be like, you know, line it up and let the best man win. So it's going to be a little different dynamic, I think, from that standpoint. And just to briefly touch on Arkansas State before diving into the Big 12 schedule, I think it's really important to have that one non-con game there, Eddie, because you got to realize, I mean, this is the first game of the year. You know, you want to knock those cobwebs off. You want to run some of your base stuff. You know, get your feet wet, especially for some of the young guys, and to be able to do it in a winnable game before you jump into conference play is really beneficial. So that's why I really wanted to see at least one non-con game. I didn't really want to just jump straight into conference, because I'll tell you what, if you had to jump straight to Oklahoma as your first game of the year, I mean, that's a tough thing to do. So I think that K-State is going to greatly benefit from having Arkansas State before Oklahoma. But with Oklahoma on that first game, Eddie, to flip it, I think it's good to catch Oklahoma early, personally, because, you know, Oklahoma is one of those teams, like a lot of good teams, that they'll peak late, in the season. They peak late when they got to win, you know, when they got to make that run, they got to make that push. And then that's when they play their best football. I mean, look at the Patriots, you know, they always play their best football in November, December, and whenever they would drop some cold games, it'd be early in, you know, in September or October. So I think for K-State to be able to face Oklahoma really early in the year is going to be good for K-State, especially with Oklahoma having a new quarterback, possibly a different rotation at running back, and some of those deals. So, excuse me, I had to get a drink there. And I was like, but I think that it's, you know, with them having some new pieces and it being their first Big 12 game, I think the K-State could possibly not necessarily get them sleeping, but get Oklahoma trying to kind of figure out how they want this offense to go. You know, this newly constructed offense. You know how they're still trying to kind of figure out, put the pieces where they need to go. And K-State may be able to take advantage of that. They really might be able to do that, especially if K-State's offense can get going and get in a groove against Arkansas State and be able to make some plays against Oklahoma. So I don't think K-State will win. Moral of the story, in Oklahoma. But I do think that they have a better chance than they would have if you saw that game maybe in late October, early November, or something like that. So, but you look down the schedule, you know, Texas Tech in Manhattan, I mean, that seems like a relatively favorable game for K-State. You'd assume that they'd be favored in that one. Going to TCU, TCU might be favored in that game by a hair, but I've told you this before, Eddie. TCU didn't particularly scare me.
No, and you
take away the fact that the majority of the crowd's not going to be there. I think K-State's better than TCU. Just when you look at the two rosters and you look at the coaching, I haven't been impressed with Pierre Patterson in the last 2 years personally with the job that he's done. So I think that K-State's got a good shot in that one. Then you look at KU as that fourth Big 12 game. Yeah, I mean, yeah, K-State should beat KU at home. It's kind of a bummer that K-State can't play KU in a full Bill Snyder Stadium atmosphere because they haven't in forever. And it just keeps happening for whatever reason. They cannot face KU in Bill Snyder Family Stadium when it's full of capacity, but whatever. I'll get over that. So I'm with you, Eddie. I think that there is a realistic chance that K-State could go 3-1. Out of those first four, TCU on the road, it's going to be difficult. I mean, it's not going to be easy. TCU is a good football team. I do think that, but I think K-State's better, but it still will be a good one. And between Texas Tech and TCU, I absolutely believe K-State could drop one of those and go 2-2 in the first four. But I think it's realistic to think that they could go 3-1 there to begin Big 12 playing. And Eddie, look, if you begin Big 12 play 3-1, you're immediately in that conversation for the Big 12 title. So I like the way the beginning of the schedule sets up.
Yeah, that's definitely for sure. And yeah, you go back to the having that non-com right there. And if you were to not have that non-com, that plus one that we've been talking about for a while now, then you got to go to, you have to start off the bat with a heavy hitter in Oklahoma. Yeah, that could be some trouble there. But yeah, having Arkansas State there and just get themselves on the right track there, good opponent, and then you have that bye. That's a big key right there. That bye week is huge for K-State there. After playing your non-con opponent in Arkansas State, you have another week to prepare for Oklahoma, who's bringing in a new quarterback.
You know, that is actually a fantastic point. I should have brought that up as well. Being able to play, that is a great point, because I don't think people understand how valuable buys can be, especially when you're playing a team like Oklahoma. When you can get 2 weeks to prepare, you give a coach like Chris Klieman that much time to prepare. You know, that's a big deal. But on the flip side, Oklahoma's going to have 2 weeks as well. So, you know, it's going to kind of be a chess match, because I just pulled their schedule up and it looks like they have a week off there as well. So it's going to be the ultimate chess match, Eddie. You know, both teams are going to have a lot of time to prepare for each other. Both teams are going to have an on-conference game that they should win pretty easily to kind of get going and get tuned up, so to speak. But I think that the big thing or the difference between K-State and Oklahoma there is that Oklahoma has a new quarterback. Oklahoma is working in some different rotations to more players than K-State. You know, K-State, when you look at their offense, Eddie, the biggest question for them is going to be how will they do trying to get a new starting five offensive linemen protecting Skylar Thompson against Oklahoma. Will they have it down as a group? Will they be able to have those concepts down and those and the schemes down to where they can protect him or K-State can effectively run the ball? Because if K-State can't effectively run the ball against Oklahoma, they're not going to have a chance to win that game. So the offensive line is going to need to figure it out. They're going to have it figured out by the time they play Oklahoma. But aside from the offensive line, you know, there's a lot of familiarity in the offense, and I think that's big for K-State. And then you flip it on the defensive side, and once again, there's a lot of familiarity for K-State on the defensive side of the football. So the only real big thing that they got to figure out is that offensive line going into that game. And but you look at Oklahoma, they got to figure out, you know, how what are we going to do with this new quarterback? You know, how are they going to handle these new schemes, these new looks, and how can we get them integrated? You know, how do we want this running back rotation to work? Oklahoma's got a bunch of good backs, but they got to figure out what backs they want, what scenarios now. And as you mentioned, you know, you lose a guy like CeeDee Lamb. You just lost one of your best running backs. You've already lost your best receiver to the draft. And you're down Jalen Hurts. So there's a lot of things, a lot more things, in my opinion, that Oklahoma needs to work out. Whereas K-State really just needs to figure that offensive line out, in my opinion. That is a huge if, by the way, because an offensive line is not an easy thing to figure out. And you don't learn that overnight, all those concepts. Because those five players all have to be working together to be able to efficiently run or for the offensive line to do its job. So I don't just brush that under the rug. It's like, oh, yeah, okay, so just got to figure your offensive line out. That's it. No, that's a big deal. That's definitely a big deal to figure it out. But I still think that there's more for Oklahoma to figure out than K-State to figure out. And that could play to K-State's advantage. But we'll just have to see.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
Eddie Greer III, Alex Aiden, a couple of K-State alums, and Wildcat 91.9 alums. This is the Purple Project Podcast. EG3, that's me. I live in Manhattan, Kansas, while Alex is residing now in San Diego, California. So, moving on to the next three games for the Kansas State football team, led by second-year head coach Chris Kleiman. Eight win season a year ago. And I talked about this team before. West Virginia at the end of October 31st. You got to go up to Morgantown. That's going to be, that's going to be a tough game up there. Especially West Virginia. Lowly West Virginia came in here last year and somehow beat us. I still can't get over that one. And neither can you. And then the following week in November, we gotta invite the other Oklahoma team into the mix. Oklahoma State, led by the three-headed monster, led by Spencer Sanders and company, Chuba Hubbard, and I can't think of the other leg of that at the moment right now. But Oklahoma State.
We know the three-headed monster. Everybody who's listening to this remembers the three-headed monster. It's imprinted in their brains.
Well, mainly Chuba Hubbard. That's the monster that sticks out. Over 200 yards rushing, gashing K-State a year ago. Oklahoma State coming to Manhattan November 7th. And then two tough road games in here. You got to go up to Ames, Iowa. Our favorite team, Matt Campbell, Iowa State. Favorite win of the year last year. Well, second favorite, in my opinion. Win last year at home. Brock Purdy and company at Ames, Iowa for Farmageddon. After another bye week in between November 21st. So, yeah, interesting stretch right there. To kind of lead up to this point now. Arkansas State here. Oklahoma in Norman. Tech comes here. K-State goes to Fort Worth. KU has to come here. Poor old Jayhawks. And then, critical stretch here with West Virginia up there. Oklahoma State coming over here. And going to Ames, Iowa, which last time we're in Ames, Iowa, K-State blew a big lead there which led to Bill Snyder retiring there. So, interesting stretch right there. And you have a couple of good quarterbacks in here. Obviously, Jared Dougie, I think Jared Dougie last year made his first start against K-State last year, if I'm not mistaken. If I remember. So that was worse about that. You have him coming here, play well against a not-prepared K-State team last year. And then, obviously, the three-headed monster that I was referring to and you jumped in on the comment there. Oklahoma State, they're going to have a good offense, really good offense there. All those guys back. That's going to be a challenge for K-State's defense, which I think K-State last year, speaking of defense, I stumbled on this stat this afternoon while preparing for a little bit. K-State defense, second in the Big 12 for points allowed in the Big 12 Conference. Pretty doggone impressive. Now the new defensive coordinator there in that spot, and Joe Klineman, we've talked about him on the Purple Project earlier this summer, and I think defense can take another jump with what they have. I know there's some question marks there, but with linebacker and your back end, could be some strong right there. We'll be talking about it here as we get closer, but I just wanted to bring that up. In Iowa State last year, to win the game there, Joshua Youngblood basically jump-started us there, and then Iowa State, Brock Purdy, never got their air-rated offense going there. So now, you reverse it now, if we can get this season going, you get to this stretch of the season, interesting opponents on the road in a big home game, Alex, against the Cowboys.
Eddie, I'm going to say this about West Virginia, and people can say, man, Alex, that's kind of harsh, but, no, I don't think it's that harsh, Eddie. I think they need to win that game in West Virginia. I think they need to go to West Virginia, and they need to get a win, and they need to come back with it for a couple of reasons. One, because last year was just ridiculous. You have got to make up for whatever that was that happened in Manhattan last year. I don't even know what that was, but that was embarrassing. I do know that. That was the one game last year that K-State had that just made you cringe and go, oh, really man. Bad. I don't know if I can go out right now in my K-State shirt after watching that. Oh, my goodness. And I always go out and wear my K-State shirt proud, Eddie. So, I could doubt that. But it was the one game that just, it really was just like the what the hell, the game, which is going to happen. You're going to have those games. But that one was not good. So, one, I think that you need to kind of make up for that. By the way, that game's played on Halloween, if you want a fun fact, I see. That's on Halloween, and Halloween night in Morgantown. I bet that would be quite the scene. But anyway, the other reason is, and we'll get into K-State's last two games in the schedule here a little later, but as we get into it, we'll see the K-State's back four of the schedule is hard. And you mentioned two of them. Oklahoma State at home, Iowa State on the road. Those are two really tough games. We know what Oklahoma State did to K-State in Stillwater last year. It wasn't pretty at all, by the way. Joe Hubbard just tore them up. And to be 100% honest, Eddie, I don't have a ton of optimism that K-State's going to be able to slow them down this year either. So I really think that K-State needs to get that win in Morgantown to prevent a two-game losing streak. And then you look at Iowa State. That's always a scary team. The Kings are 7-5. They always have a good roster of players. Matt Campbell is a good coach. And if they do have fans in the stands, that's obviously going to be a difficult game. But like I said, that's not as much of a factor to me right now. So, I think that you look at that, and if you don't get the West Virginia game, and you don't get the breaks against Oklahoma State, and Iowa State, all of a sudden you find yourself in a 3-game losing streak. And that's not what you want. And that's the bigger reason to why I believe K-State needs to go to West Virginia and get a win. Because you don't want to start a slide on this back half of the schedule. And as we will get into, the final two games, they're not gimmies either. You know, K-State's kind of got some of the teams that they need to beat early on in the schedule. You got Texas Tech at home. You need to find a way to beat Tech at home. You know, KU at home. You need to find a way to beat KU at home. West Virginia on the road. You got to find a way to beat West Virginia on the road. I mean, you look at those games, Eddie, and you've got to find a way to get them if you want to legitimately have a chance to be in the conversation to play in the Big 12 title game, because the back half of the schedule is hard. It's hard, and if you let some of those drop, then you're going to have to go win a game at Iowa State, and it's going to be a must-win instead of having a little cushion. Or you're going to have to go beat Chubba Hubbard in Oklahoma State some way, somehow. So the West Virginia game is going to be really important. I think Chris Klein is going to understand that, though, and I think he's going to have them ready to play. And I think Casey's going to have a good chance at going into that game and winning in West Virginia. And Oklahoma State, I don't think that's a great matchup for K-State. I don't think that they're going to find a way to get that one, personally. And then you look at the Iowa State game. I think that's going to be a tough one. And that's a toss-up. I'm going to give it to Iowa State as of now. So if we were keeping track, Eddie, that I would have them at 1-0, 1-1, 2-1, 3-1, 4-1, 5-1. 5-2, 5-3. So I would have them at 5-3 going into those final two games.
Okay. All right. I'm going to hold off on mine until the season gets closer. But yeah, I'm sitting here just looking at West Virginia and kind of backing up to there here for real quick before we talk about the last two games of the schedule. Because yeah, the second half of the schedule is brutal. So West Virginia, the last we're on a 4-game losing streak against the Mountaineers. I had to double check this, and yeah, so you got this started back in 2016, back to in the Bill Snyder era. 2016, they lost by 1-17-16. These have been close games now. Against West Virginia, very good games, except for one in this stretch. Where this could go either way with both these teams, right? So 17-16, West Virginia, back in 2016. Then at home, you lose at home the following year in 2017, 28-23 there. And then the absolute beatdown in Morgantown 2 years ago, 35-6, ugly, ugly game. And then, of course, last year there, which still befuddles all of us. 24-20 there last year. Neil Brown, oh, by the way, is the head coach for West Virginia. So we're on a 4-game losing streak. I had to double check that out, man. Man, we struggled, but all these have been close games except for the one in Morgantown. So learn from your mistakes, and Chris Klein is a good enough coach that he'll have those boys, if we get to this point of the season, keep that in mind. They'll have those guys ready to play. That's for sure. I mean, they're going to be hungry. They got to be hungry. I mean, you have seniors' leadership. You need that senior leadership. And you stressed it already on this episode tonight. You got to take care of business on the winnable games. Tech, KU, you got to take care of it. And I'm going to throw TCU in there as well. Again, I have not looked at these rosters closely yet. But you got to take care of these games because, yeah, the second half of the schedule is brutal, and you're going into, I'm just going to have to round it out here with the rest of the schedule, with November 28th, last road game at Baylor. Ouch! So you have, not only you got to go to Ames, you got to go back down to Texas to Waco and face Charlie Brewer and company there, with a new head coach, by the way. But still, a big, dangerous Baylor team. We don't know how that's going to shake out due to losing Matt Rhule to the Carolina Panthers, and they lost a couple pieces there on defense, so you don't know how they're going to restock that position. That's going to be, and you talk about early about Oklahoma and trying to find their rhythm. Well, Baylor at this time, they might find their rhythm, so it'll be interesting there to see there. And then obviously the one that got away last year, Texas. Good old Sammy Ellinger coming in here to Manhattan, Kansas, December 5th, final game of the season there, where last year, Heartbreak Hotel again against the Longhorns last year down in Austin last year after missing critical plays there, which could have put Texas away early, in my opinion, but we let Texas back in the game, and we all know what's history there. So yeah, Charlie, you got veteran quarterbacks in the back end of the schedule, and I'm just gonna go ahead and throw Jerry Dougie as well in here. Spencer Sanders, Brock Purdy, Charlie Brewer, and Sam Ellinger. That's that's a juggernaut of a second half for K-State. K-State defense, Joe Klinderman, Justin Hughes. Again, if they can all get healthy, it's gonna be an interesting end to the second half of the season.
It is, and let's also focus on two of the last three are on the road, you know, which make it even more difficult. And I don't think that that's as much of a deal with the fans, as I've mentioned, as it is the fact that the travel. And it is always more difficult, you know, when you have to travel, you know, 2 weeks in a row, like you do. And not saying it takes a lot of toll, but you're looking, and this is on the back half of the season, so, you know, the team's probably already going to begin to they'll probably be feeling it already, and they're already fatigued, and then you've got two of the three on the road against good football teams, so that's never easy. Look, Baylor is kind of, they're interesting. They're one of those teams, Eddie, that I think that you would benefit a lot from playing them early as well, because you've got a new coach, and they're implementing a new system and new schemes, and playing them early, you can take advantage of that. You can take advantage of them, trying to figure that out still. Playing them late, I don't think is as beneficial, because you've got a veteran quarterback. You've got good players coming back who are going to have the scheme down, most likely, by then. And that'll make that game more difficult. And so, it's also the second, as I mentioned, second game in a row on the road. So that's going to be difficult for K-State. I know that I said I didn't give K-State the Iowa State game. I'll go ahead and give them the Baylor game, because I do think that they'll win one of those two. I'm not exactly sure. I think that they're both kind of toss-ups. But either way, Baylor's going to be a difficult opponent for K-State, as will Iowa State, and as will Oklahoma State the week prior. And then rounding it out with Texas. Texas is the head-scratcher, Eddie. They're the head-scratcher. You just never know what to expect with Texas. But, you know, I'm not sure. You know, there used to be the whole, you know, we own Texas thing. As you know, Eddie, very well, that used to be the whole K-State's, you know, we own Texas. Well, you know, lately K-State has not owned Texas. They have not. They have lost the last at least three, I believe, to Texas, if not more. It might be the last four they've lost to Texas.
I'll go back and check that.
In fact, I think the last time they might have been Texas was 2015, my senior year, when they blanked them, when they had Jake Waters. That could be incorrect. Yeah, you can check that. But either way, Texas has given K-State fits in years past. Moral of the story. And Sam Ellinger is a wily veteran, and he'll be ready to roll, and that's going to be a difficult one for K-State. But if they come out and they play well, they can have an opportunity. So it's a tough matchup for K-State. Those two Texas schools to end. And, with the Texas game, oh, man. I'm probably going to have to give the slight edge to Texas just because Sam Ellinger last week of the season. But I don't know, Eddie. Texas is so finicky. It's so hard to know. It's just, you just never know.
You never know from week to week with this team.
You don't.
At least lately.
They can come out and they can beat Oklahoma in the Cotton Bowl 1 week. And then the next week they can come out and they can have a dud against TCU. And so you just don't know. You really just don't know. K-State got to good Texas last year. They went down to Austin and they played a good game. But Texas did bring their A game, and they were able to find a way to squeak it out against K-State. So you just kind of never know what you're going to get from them. If K-State comes out and they play well, they'll have a good chance at winning that game. But it's gonna be a difficult one.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
Absolutely. So yeah, Texas is definitely one of those Jack on High teams in the Big 12. Well, while you're doing that, I went back to the Iowa State series the last few years, and K-State has won the five out of six, the last five of the last six, including last year now, in between 17 and 19, that terrible, heartbreaking loss in 2018. Like I mentioned earlier in this podcast, sent the Purple Project 42-38. They were that big-time rally there by Iowa State there. So K-State, well, they don't have not owned Texas. They've owned Iowa State. So, and I'm just going to jump on this right now. So Texas, yeah, K-State for whatever reason. I mean, K-State for whatever reason. I mean, Texas. And to go back to your point, they've lost three straight against Texas. And three of the last four, and you go four to the last five against the Texas Longhorns. So for whatever reason, K-State last year, golden opportunity last year to keep their Big 12 title hopes alive, didn't do it. They blew that 27-24, and then the year before that, I was there. Year before that, the kick return for a punt return for a touchdown led Texas to escape the Little Apple with a 19-14 win. I remember that. It's fresh from my memory there because me and the wife were there at that game, and that was frustrating. So, yeah, I mean.
Hey, quickly, you mentioned Texas. You know, I want to let you know what I remember about that game. That was the Skylar Thompson officially taking the K-State Reigns game.
Boom. Because boom.
Game, Delton got the start, and everybody's like, well, here we go, because he got benched. Skylar Thompson was benched without Bill Snyder even telling him the week prior against West Virginia. And Alex Delton finished that game. And the next big game, Alex Delton got the start, was horrible. He was awful. And K-State got down 19-0, I'm pretty sure. Skylar came in, led K-State to get it to 19-14. He couldn't quite put him over the hill to get that game. But Skylar's had the team from then on, so... Just a fun fact, you mentioned you were there. Well, that was the beginning of Skylar kind of grabbing reins of this K-State team that he will be leading for his final season this year.
Yep, that's right. And you mentioned Alex Delton. You go back a year before that, back in 2017, there, the double overtime loss. I mean, they played, for whatever reason, at least in the last few years, they played very well down in Austin, but for some reason... They come out at the other end of the stick with a heartbreaking loss. In this case here, Alex Delton played well.
He did.
Before he got the start, and apparently Skylar Thompson took over reins of K-State 40-34. And this was a double overtime loss there.
That was a great game.
At that moment in time, Wildcat Nation, at that particular time, oh dang, Alex Delton, he can be the man for K-State. Tides have turned.
I was riding it. I was not riding the Skylar Thompson train. I was riding the Alex Delton train, and I ended up being wrong, but what he did in that Texas game made me think, oh man, this is Bill Snyder getting his guy. This is him getting his L. Roberson-like type guy who can run it. You know, him getting his Colin Klein type guy. He's not as big, but you know, he can run that type of offense. That's honestly what I thought would happen. It just never clicked. It just never clicked with Alex Delton, and he seemed like a good kid, but it just never clicked with him. But you're right. He played good in that game. K-State's played well their last two games in Austin. They've not played so well their last game at home against them, but Texas has just showed up. You just gotta give Texas credit. Texas has showed up the last two games that K-State's played in Austin.
Yeah, and while I'm on the Texas theme here, Baylor last year, of course, lose to them early in the year, 31-12. They're in that game, and then all of a sudden the wheels coming off of that football game there. But look at the Baylor series here. They've lost four of the last six against the Baylor Bears, including they've lost two straight. And last time they were in Waco, they lost 37-34 there in that game 2 years ago, back in 2018 there. I want to say Alex Barnes.
Sorry, you probably were just going to mention it. You're probably
yeah, Alex Barnes had a big game there and still lost the game. So, yeah, they lost. They've lost two straight against the Bears heading into 2020.
Alex Barnes was insane in that game. He did what Chuba Hubbard did to K-State in the K-State Oklahoma State game to Baylor in Baylor that last time they were in Waco. But K-State still couldn't win. So that was the one that hurt there. But you're right. Baylor has been a tough matchup for K-State too. You look at those last two games. Those are two teams that K-State just has not had a lot of success against the last few years for whatever reason. You're right. They've had it against Iowa State, and they I think even if you look further back, I think it might even be like 10-12 or 10-13. But either way, K-State has played well against them, but they have not played so great against Baylor and Texas, which, like I said, kind of veers away from the whole we own Texas thing, because K-State clearly doesn't own them right now. But you know what? No better time to get it going, than right now. You're gonna have a great opportunity against Baylor. You're gonna have an opportunity to go down there and beat a veteran quarterback on the road. Imagine what that could do for this team. Imagine what type of a morale boost you could give them. Because let's be honest, Eddie, if K-State is able to do what we think that they could in the front half of the schedule, and hypothetically, let's say they, they're 1-1, 2-1, 3-1, 4-1. Say they win the Texas Tech, TCU, KU, West Virginia games after Oklahoma, and they're 4-1 going into these last four. Hypothetically, if things go as well as they probably could, these are going to be games that are going to be Big 12 championship. There's going to be implications for the Big 12 championship in these last four games, because these are probably going to be four teams that are going to be in the conversation to who's going to play Oklahoma. Is it going to be Oklahoma State? Is it going to be Baylor? Is Texas going to be in that mix? And then if K-State starts like that, K-State will be right in that conversation too, off of those schools. So there could be a lot on the line in these last four games too. It's not just that it's that's going to be a tough back half of the schedule. Well, I mean, that very well could decide who's going to the Big 12 championship game and make for some really important games if K-State is able to get off to a 4-1 start in Big 12 play. That would just raise the level of intensity and the level of importance of those games.
Yeah, and Alex Barnes 2 years ago put up 250 against the Bears. While Charlie Brewer, who back then was a sophomore, I want to say, threw 200 and almost threw for 300 yards back in that game. And, of course, the last year's game here in Manhattan last year there, K-State was in this ball game. And it 31-12, it seemed to be a little closer than that, though, but K-State did not make the plays that it's supposed to. Charlie Brewer, though, threw for less yards last year than previous year, only throwing for 230 against the Wildcat defense last year. Skylar Thompson, a year ago, 218 yards through the year. James Gilbert, 94 on the ground. And Dalton Schoen, who's moved on to the NFL, 69 yards receiving there. So at that moment in time, K-State dropped to 3-2, 0-2 in the conference play. You can't go 0-2, start off conference play there. You can't do it. I mean, OU, we know what they're about. Texas Tech, we've been preaching it all episode long here tonight on the Purple Project. Some final thoughts here before we talk quickly about quarterbacks to end this podcast. But yeah, you can't start off 0-2. You can't do it with a asterisk mark of a year. Can't do it, especially you want to compete for an opportunity to play Oklahoma for a Big 12 title. K-State is they're capable of being in the conversation. They just got to go out and do it. Arkansas State, OU, Tech, TCU, we're going to get if we can get to the season, we'll get some of these questions answered early for sure. So, K-State, you can't start over. Not in a season like this. Not in an unpredictable year like this. Can't do it.
First off, great to be able to have this conversation in general. Just got to say, it's much better than being able to say, well, you know, what's Bob Bowlesby going to do about the season?
Yeah.
This is much more enjoyable. Although it is very interesting, the other stuff too. But no, to get to your point, you can't start 0-2. Now, not if you want to be in the conversation. Last year, K-State was in the conversation a little bit, especially after they beat Oklahoma, but they were never seriously in the conversation. They really kind of put a fork in that with their loss to West Virginia, as we've mentioned. That third loss kind of erased any chance of that when K-State had an opportunity. But they were never seriously in it because they started 0-2. And that's not a recipe for success. So assuming you go to Oklahoma and lose, which I do expect to happen, that's going to make that Texas Tech game, in my opinion, a must-win if you want to be in the Big 12 title or Big 12 championship game conversation. Got to find a way to win that game because you just can't start 0-2. That just puts you in too big of a hole to be able to get going. And so they got to find a way to do that. And just to take it a step further, getting back to that back half of the schedule, you got to find a way to win a lot of games early. Because it just may be hard to win games late. It just might, because you're facing teams, Eddie. These aren't just good teams. These are veteran teams. You know, these are teams that have been there, done that. And granted, K-State's going to have a pretty veteran team. Not veteran team. That's not the right word. K-State's still going to be young. They're going to have some guys coming back. But they're going to be going up against some teams that are going to have returning starters. And so... You know, you can't start 0-2. You gotta win the games you're supposed to win. Those two things are gonna be so important for K-State if they want to have a chance to be able to be in that conversation. And look, though, you know, you look at the schedule, and I think that realistically, K-State could have I think 5-4 is definitely assuming they beat Tech and TCU and West Virginia and KU, and you have four. You see at least one of those four against those bottom four. Puts you at 5-4, and if you could get another, that'd be 6-3. And then, assuming you had your regular non-con games, that would put you, if you took care of business in the non-con, with a record of 8-4 and 9-3, which we all would take. So I think it's important for people to understand that the schedule, the final record is not going to look probably as nice as it would have if K-State had their three non-con games. And so you may look at it on paper and think, oh, that record's not quite as good as last year. But in reality, it probably will, in my opinion, because I expect them to have a winning record in conference play. I do expect them to be at least 5-4 in Big 12 play. I think 6-3 is a possibility for them. Now, 6-3 enough to get you to the Big 12 championship game? I don't know. We'll just have to see how much the Big 12 kind of beats up on each other this year. That'll really be the key to that. It might be. Look, I mean, you look at the schedule, and if there's a lot of parity within the Big 12, you know, Baylor can beat Texas. Texas can beat Baylor. Iowa State can beat Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State can beat Baylor. I mean, you look at this. Everybody can beat everybody kind of in that top half. Kind of if you exclude Oklahoma. And because I really do think Oklahoma's kind of on their own, even though they have a new quarterback, I still think that they're going to be kings of the Big 12. Personally, I could be wrong about that, but I think that they will. But I really think K-State, Oklahoma State, Iowa State, Baylor, Texas—they all could kind of cannibalize and kind of beat each other up. And so 6-3 might be able to get it done. You know, that might be able to get them in. And I think the K-State could go 6-3, and I do think that they'll go at least 5-4. So. You know that I think that it's just that much more of an impetus to win those games early and take care of business in those, and then see if you can win some games late. You know, and regardless of what happens, we've talked about this K-State team. This is a young team. It's a team that's got some guys returning, But it's a young team. There are a lot of freshmen and sophomores, redshirt freshmen and sophomores. And if they can even, Eddie, be able to play in big-time games in November, that's something that would be a big benefit going into 2022. Because then that could really get K-State prime to be able to make a big push when some of these QBs are out of there. You know, once Charlie Brewer's out of Baylor, once Sam Ellinger's out of Texas, once some of these guys are out, once Chuba Hubbard's out of, leaves Oklahoma State, K-State could really be primed to position themselves in 2022, especially playing some meaningful games late in 2021, to make a realistic push at winning 10-plus games and playing for a Big 12 title. So I think even if they could put themselves in a position to play meaningful football games in November, it would benefit them regardless of what happened.
Yeah, so and I want to jump in real quick with Oklahoma. Yeah, you mentioned that, and I heard that on another podcast. Yeah, they're on another level right now, but that's if everyone doesn't opt out. So,
that's a good point.
Right
now.
Yeah, so I want to refer back to earlier when I mentioned Brooks. Well, I finally got the name, folks, for y'all, ladies and gentlemen. Even though we do not like OU, Kennedy Brooks, one of the more experienced, or if the only experienced running back entering this season, opted out earlier this afternoon here a few hours ago before the Purple Project podcast. So, this will lead me to our last point of the night of the podcast here. These quarterbacks you mentioned, these veteran quarterbacks. And I didn't really realize, and speaking of Skylar Thompson real quick, he's been added on to another award list, the Johnny Unitas Gordon Arm Award watch list for Skylar Thompson. So mark it down, folks. Another watch list for Skylar Thompson. So, all right. So you have all these quarterbacks. You mentioned Sam Ellinger. He's not a quarterback, but Chuba Hubbard. But you have all these quarterbacks now. So these, I'm just going to list them right there. I'm going to start from bottom to top. And this will be our last point, and we can discuss this a little more as season gets closer, if it follows to on schedule. So, okay, so according to 24/7 Sports that I read earlier this week, Myles Kendrick, who's kind of leading the way for KU right now, is number 10, right? Then Jared Dougie for West Virginia, number 9. Alan Bowman, if he can stay healthy. We did not see him at all in our game last year. Got hurt early on for Texas Tech, ranked at number 8. So where's Skylar Thompson? He's ranked number 7. Skylar Thompson, our senior quarterback here at K-State. Max Duggan, TCU, 6. There you got your top 5. Pretty damn good top 5 here, you ask me. Charlie Brewer, which we talked about on this podcast here tonight, for Baylor, number 5. Spencer Rattler, the new starting quarterback for OU. Number 4, Spencer Sanders, Oklahoma State quarterback at number 3. Then the 1-2 punch of Brock Purdy, number 2, and Sam Ellinger, number 1, Big 12 quarterback heading into the season. And I lost my train of thought now. And I want to go back here. I lost what I want to say, but according to the PFF for college, so Skylar Thompson is 7th right, according to 24/7 Sports. But the PFF for college for the Big 12, Skylar Thompson, 3rd highest QB rating in the conference there, behind Charlie Brewer and Sam Ellinger, while Brock Purdy is right behind Skylar Thompson at 4 with 79.8. And if you guys are wondering, Skylar Thompson grade average of a low B, 80.6. So you look at that. So that, I didn't realize that a lot of quarterbacks return for these teams. I didn't realize it because all the talk was about, we've been talking about Sam Ellinger, Brock Purdy, and Spencer Sanders. We haven't really talked about this, the new Oklahoma quarterback, and Rattler, Max Duggan, and that could be a debate there, whether Scott Thompson can be ahead of Max Duggan of TCU there. But kind of your summarizing your thoughts a little bit, Alex, on this top, on the grades of the quarterback position.
Yeah, so first off, Brock Purdy, just he's a great, great quarterback. I absolutely believe he's the best quarterback in the Big 12. His ceiling's really high. He makes a lot of great throws. He scares the heck out of me when K-State plays Iowa State. The even more scary thing, the thing that's even scarier about Brock Purdy is that I believe he's only a junior, because I think his freshman year was the year that he led Iowa State back against K-State when they got the big lead. And, I'm pretty sure that was his freshman year. So if that would have been his freshman year, last year would have been a sophomore, which makes this his junior. So I guess we got to get used to him for a couple more years. But when you sound the list, it sounds pretty accurate, Eddie. I'm with you. I don't think Skyler's 7. I think 6 is probably. I think that he's done more than Max. Duggan has done at TCU. I think he's only a sophomore.
Yeah, he's a sophomore.
Yeah, he was a freshman last year. He did some fine things as a freshman last year, but I don't know what the hell he's done to get ahead of Skyler Thompson. So K-State had a better football team last year. Skyler was the leader of that football team. Skyler's been a quarterback in the Big 12 for a lot longer than Max has. Max Duggan might have a higher ceiling, but he doesn't deserve to be ahead of Skyler. So, no, I don't agree with that. But I do think that 6 is a good spot for Skyler, because I don't think he's better than any of his top 5. And that's not a slight against Skyler. I think that's the biggest thing that I would want to make to people is – me thinking Skyler should be 6th on that list is not a ding at Skyler. It's looking at the quarterback play of the Big 12 this year. As you mentioned, a bunch of guys are returning. And that's just the name of the game. If you had some of those guys leaving, then he probably would have found his way in the top half. Say Charlie Brewer was leaving, say Alan Gurr was leaving, you probably would find him in the top half. But the fact of the matter is the Big 12 has a lot of quarterbacks returning. Quarterbacks that are good quarterbacks. Quarterbacks that you could possibly see as some finalists at the end of the year for some hardware. And so, I think that the Big 12 is going to be a tough, as we already know. I mean, that's the name of the Big 12. The Big 12 is an offensive league, and it's good quarterback play, and that's this year's going to be no exception. So the list sounds pretty accurate. K-State better buckle up. I think that K-State does have a good defense. I think they'll be better than last year. I'm with you, Eddie. That defense was really good last year, and I think they're going to be better this year. I fully believe that. They may be fooling me, but I think what they did last year was for real. I think this defense is going to be even better. I think they're going to be improved. I think they have more experience. They're going to be more seasoned. I think that Klanderman is a perfect coach for that defense, and so I think that they're going to have a great year. But they better buckle up, because they're going to have a lot of good offenses and a lot of quarterbacks they're going to have to face on a weekly basis. So, the fact that Skyler would be 6 or 7 on that list speaks for the talent, the quarterback position in the Big 12. And if you got a good quarterback, you can make things happen. You're going to be in a football game. So, the K-State defense is going to have their work cut out for them. No doubt about that. But looking at that list, biggest takeaway is just the level of competition at the quarterback position in the Big 12. And, Skyler can have a good year. I absolutely think that you could find him on the top half of that list and leapfrog some guys. And, look, Skyler's got the opportunity to do it. Skyler's got the opportunity to make that happen. We know he's got confidence. We know that he's going to have the tools this year to do it, offensive line permitting. That is my disclaimer for every single thing I say offensively right now, because if he doesn't get time from the line and the running game can't get going, then that could throw everything out of whack, could be quite frank, for Skyler. But if the offensive line can protect him and they can get the running game going, Skyler will have the opportunity to be able to kind of reverse that and leap into the top half there. So, I think it's accurate, but I think Skyler should use his motivation. And not that he needs any more, but, just continue to use it as more motivation. And look, I think Skyler will have a better year this year than he did last year, too. I think the second year, I've said this before, I think his second year in Coach Kleiman's system is going to be big for him. And I think the biggest thing is, will his progression slowed down because of the coronavirus and the fact that K-State couldn't have spring ball, that they didn't have some of the off-season stuff? Is that going to kind of stump that at all? I think that's really the only question I have, but I still think that he's going to come out and have a good season and lead K-State to some big things, offensive line permitting.
Yeah, that's a good way to put an exclamation point on that. And yes, I finally got the point that I wanted to make here, kind of close out the show here. So, I find it interesting that the only back-to-back sequence is on the road with Iowa State and Baylor late in the year. They're two tough games back-to-back. That's the only back-to-back on the revised schedule. So, circle that one, Wildcat folk, Wildcat Nation, on that one, especially if K-State were to be in the Big 12 conversation and hunt for a shot to play if everything is status quo, which we don't know still with OU. They've been in the news quite a bit the last 48 hours. So we'll see what happens there. So, man, it's been fun talking about getting ready for football season or the potential football season besides the Big 10, the Pac-12. Not getting the opportunity, fortunately for those guys, to play a season. We're pretty fortunate to be talking football. This has been a lot of fun, and definitely there's more to come, obviously. We will definitely have every breakdown after every K-State football game here on the Pearl Project Podcast, so definitely limited react. Well, yeah, actually, that's not the word I want to use, but anyways, we're going to have right off the bat reaction to every K-State game, home or away, throughout the 2020 season, if we can get to the season. So, including Arkansas State. So, yep. September 12th. So, man, it's been a lot of fun talking football and talking games. So, it's been a lot. This episode has been a lot of fun here tonight, Alex.
Well, you know, Eddie, it's been a lot of fun being able to talk games. It's going to be a lot of fun if we can be able to watch games. And my big message, Eddie, is to any students that are out at K-State, first off, enjoy the college experience. That's the first thing I always say. There's nothing like being in Manhattan, I tell you what, those are some of the best years, Eddie. We're in Manhattan those 4 years, and the college experience was amazing. I want students to fully embrace that. With that said, for us to be able to experience everything we just talked about, students have got to be smart, and they've got to help try to protect these football players, and not just these football players, but these basketball players, these volleyball players, these baseball players, all the players, all the sports. Students have got to do their part, and I won't even get into the, I don't even know how the mask conversations got so polarizing. I wear a mask as required out here in California. My personal belief is that you should wear a mask, but fine. If you're not going to wear a mask, that's fine, whatever. Just be smart. It is the biggest thing. I just hope students are smart once school starts and they don't, put those student athletes who are really trying to do everything that they can in a position to get it. Because all it takes, Eddie, is one idiot that goes down to Acuville on a weeknight or a weekend night. And they're in class. They're sitting next to a football player. Football player gets it, goes to practice, spreads it to the team. Boom. It's that easy. It is literally that easy for this football season to get derailed. So I hope students enjoy being back on campus. I just hope that they are smart and they use common sense so they can increase our chances of being able to see all these games that we just discussed. So we can actually watch this play out and have football in the fall. And wouldn't that be nice if we made the Big Ten and the Pac-12 look a little silly for not playing it?
Yeah, that would be nice. Yeah.
That would be nice if we made them look kind of silly for canceling the season, if we could actually pull it off. That would be huge.
It would be huge.
That would be satisfying. That would be kind of satisfying, the way that the Big Ten and Pac-12 kind of tried to bully the other three conferences into, I think that's the word John Kurtz used. I think he used the word bully. They kind of tried to bully the other three conferences into canceling or postponing their seasons, and they wouldn't budge. And I won't get into that whole conversation because that's become way more toxic than it needs to be on whether it should or shouldn't be football. But it would be great to be able to pull it off. Moral of the story, I think everybody can agree about that. So hopefully we can pull it off. Hopefully the students can do their part in helping us do that, and we can be able to watch these games, be able to break it down, and be able to continue to have these conversations about football and about K-State possibly in contention for playing in a Big 12 championship. You know, we love it. That's exactly what we want to be able to do this fall. So hopefully they can do their part as school ramps up. And I see, Eddie, I'm an alum. I get these emails. K-State's doing what they can to try to help these students prepare. I saw they're giving out free masks. I see they're giving out, I think they were like K-State PowerCat masks, too, that they were giving out to some students. They're giving them supplies. They're giving them the necessities to be able to be as safe on campus as possible. So no excuse, Eddie. No excuse for those students. They can go do their thing. But I do hope that they enjoy it and they have a good school year.
That is for sure. That is well said. Yeah, be smart, students. First day, as we record this podcast, tomorrow, Monday, August 17th, first week. Yeah, these first weeks are going to be crucial leading up to the September 12th date against Arkansas State here at Bill Snyder Family Stadium. Be smart. Don't be stupid. Be smart. Take care of yourself. That's what I'm going to say. I said my piece on the last episode, and I'm going to leave it like this, and we're going to wrap it up. Be smart. Stay safe. Make smart decisions. And yeah, let's make those conferences look stupid. So,
but still have fun.
Still have fun. Take care of business. Have fun. But most importantly, like AA said, be smart. Alex, where can everybody follow you on social media?
Find me. Go follow right now. Everybody on here should get off of this podcast once it's done. They shouldn't get off early. They should get off this podcast once it's done. Done. And the first thing they should do is go to Twitter and type in @AFACHTEN and give it a follow if they want some takes that maybe aren't 100% thought out before they're said. Maybe some knee-jerk reactions from time to time. My personal Twitter, I just kind of say what I'm thinking in the moment, and sometimes I look stupid, sometimes I don't. So, but more times I look stupid than I don't when I do that. And then the professional Twitter, the second thing they should do is they should go into that Twitter search bar and they should type @Alex_ITRC, and then they should hit a follow there too, so they can see everything I'm working on at the Identity Theft Resource Center. We've got some stuff that we're working on, and you'll learn some, I don't know what our identity theft viewing audience is, actually, Eddie, but still, you should still give it a follow, because it's got good stuff, okay? You guys got me, okay? I get it. It may not be a lot of people that care about identity theft, but still, please give it a follow.
Oh, and the third thing, follow me at Eddie_EG3 on Twitter. And of course, yeah, I have another podcast I do, the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast, EG3. Go check that out as well. The latest episode was the Daytona Beach Road Course, and I have reaction to what took place on the road course later on this week. But yeah, go check that out as well, along with the Purple Project Podcast. Spread the word out, K-State Nation. Whether you live here in Manhattan, we do have a listening on us here in Manhattan, or outside of the state of Kansas, the Purple Project Podcast, find it wherever you get your podcast. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audio Boom, Radio.com, iHeartRadio, and SoundCloud. And I will work on getting the rest of those episodes of the Purple Project up on my SoundCloud page here this week, so I'll get caught up on that as well. And then, just not to forget real quick, volleyball, soccer, they're still practicing, working out, so we'll see what happens there. But football is less than a month away if things stay on course. Arkansas State, the opener for K-State here coming up next month in football. Alex, we will do this again next week, sir.
I look forward to it, Eddie. I hope you have a great week. Hope everybody else listening has a great week.
All right, that's a wrap for the Purple Project Podcast this week here in Manhattan, Kansas. For Alex Aiden, my co-host Eddie Greer III, saying thank you for tuning into this episode 16 of the Purple Project. Bring on the Cats. Less than a month away from football. If everything stays the course, we'll have to see about that. Stay safe, stay healthy, be smart. We'll see you. Bring on the Cats. We'll see you. Have a good night.
Are found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audio Boom, and more. We'll talk to you on the next edition of the Purple Project Podcast.